Today is Saturday, August 18th, 2018, and this...
Las Vegas. It's like the anus, that it's objectively unattractive, and too many men refuse to shut up about that one time they went there.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 658.
Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
You're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Money, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you this evening?
I am fine. How are you?
I'm great.
Good.
We get to recap our trip tonight.
Hooray.
We're going to have a little bit of news. We're going to talk a lot about our most recent trip.
I know at least one person's looking forward to that.
We have more than one listener. It's going to be fun.
But one person has expressed extreme interest in the post-trip reports.
Al from San Diego, we're talking about you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, before we do that, let's thank some folks, the fine people who support our podcast week in and week out, our Patreon patrons. They include, this is a new one, Dr. Dong. No chance of me mispronouncing Dr. Dong. Kate Score, Alex Ortega, Kelly McCauley, Brian Countryman, Phil States, and Leslie Ann and Tony.
Good job on the names tonight.
Well, thank you. They were pretty reasonable. There will be one in the show notes that I butcher.
Okay.
Somewhat intentionally. Anyway, we'll get to that later. If you're wondering what this is about, visit patreon.com/500. People who want to support the show on an ongoing monthly basis get some bonus content once in a while as our way of saying thank you. As I mentioned last week, I've got a couple videos I need to post. I have not gotten around to that, but I will do that in the next week or so. I promise. All right. So... there's some news. We alluded to this news last week. It's very exciting. We always love talking about residencies. I pulled audio clips.
Good.
As you do. We'll do from time to time. Should I sing along? Blow off smear drums?
If you want.
I don't think I can pull off
the vocal acrobatics of Steven Tyler.
Should I try it right on the opening shriek? It's not really a shriek, but... afraid, but I'm tempted. I'm back! See, I can't do that. Aerosmith. They're going to be performing a residency at Park Theater. And they have officially announced details on Wednesday on the Today Show and elsewhere. The details are as follows. They will be performing 18 shows as part of this, beginning in April of 2019. Additional shows will be performed in June and July of 2019. The show is called Aerosmith, Deuces Are Wild. Nice Vegas theme there.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be interested in seeing Aerosmith in Las Vegas?
I would.
I would too. If this were to time out with one of our trips, I would be all for it. There are a bunch of pre-sales happening as we speak. Much like with the... we should probably go through multiple songs, shouldn't we?
Sure.
They have so many hits, I only pulled a few. A little sampling. Everyone knows this one.
Mm-hmm.
It charted not once, but twice! Because it's such a good song.
Mm-hmm.
I pulled the original.
I was waiting to see...
Here's the thing about Aerosmith.
Okay.
An impressive thing about Aerosmith. This is their 50th anniversary that they're celebrating next year at Park Theater with this residency.
It's a long time for a band to be together.
It is. But, you know, they were together for a while before they became known. But really, with their first album in 1972, they started putting out hits. And they, like, looking through their discography and pulling songs and stuff, they continued... There was a little bit of time there in the 80s where they didn't necessarily produce a lot of songs that were popular, but early on, and then again from Permanent Vacation in 1989 through pretty much like 2009, they continued to chart.
Wow.
That's a long stretch for a band to not just produce music, but
be successful with it.
Yeah, that's very impressive.
Commercially successful, yeah.
And of course, they can go out on tour anytime they want and sell out arenas like crazy. With this show, they're looking at doing things that... Whoops. I already played that one. A more modern hit. Well, it's not that. What year was this? Probably 15 years ago. They want to do things that they can't do on their touring show as far as the audio and effects and stuff. I don't know exactly what that's going to entail. But I'm sure it will be a great show. So as I mentioned, there's a lot of pre-sales happening. Much like the Gaga thing, there are fan club pre-sales and venue pre-sales and M-Life pre-sales. And the technical official on-sale date is August 24th, but by that point, most of the tickets will probably be picked over. So I'd recommend finding a way to get a password. It's not that hard. One of the things that I'm very impressed with Aerosmith for doing, instead of like most groups just having a fan club pre-sale, they've been around so long, they have fan club members who've been fan club members for years. Yeah. So they had like three or four fan club pre-sales based on how long you've been a member.
That's cool.
So the first people who got a shot at tickets were, it was something like 23 plus years in the fan club. And then, yeah, they broke it down into smaller segments, but that's a nice way to respect your longtime fans.
Yeah.
What else? Tickets started at $75 plus taxes and fees. Realistically, you're going to be probably spending $200 to $300 a pop for most of the tickets. And, yeah, a welcome addition to the Park Theater lineup. I like what they're doing over there.
Yes.
I'm a fan
at the theater. We'll get to the hotel in a minute.
Yes. So there you have it. Do you have a favorite Aerosmith song?
I don't think I do. Do you? They have a pretty solid catalog. I mean, there are a lot of songs that I like.
Yeah, you can fire up many of their albums and find stuff, you know, stuff that's familiar that you like. You know, I like a lot of the older stuff.
Dream On?
I love Dream On.
That's a good one.
I like Walk This Way. I like Sweet Emotion.
Yep.
Some of the stuff, that's enough. Some of the stuff kind of in their comeback era.
Like the 90s Alicia Silverstone videos?
I don't mind that at all. Yeah. I like that stuff. But like, I could do without Don't Want to Miss a Thing.
Yeah.
One of the more popular songs, but I think Diane Warren wrote that, didn't she? Or co-wrote it?
I think so,
That's weird. Anyway,
Aerosmith. The ballads, they're all kind of interchangeable to me. Crying Crazy Angel, maybe?
Yeah, Angel. I like Angel a little bit better. I love that Permanent Vacation album, though. I wore that cassette out.
Love in an Elevator.
I like that one. Dude Looks Like a Lady, all those songs. All right, so Aerosmith, that's the big news. Hooray for Aerosmith. Some other entertainment news of a musical nature. Marilyn the Musical, the saga continues. If you recall our previous discussions about this, it was a short-lived show at Paris about the life of Marilyn Monroe. And it opened for a very short time, and then they announced they were closing for a summer break. Like all the performers are fucking school teachers or something. It's an odd thing to have a summer break for a Las Vegas show. And then there were plans to reopen the show on September 4th at the Paris Theater, where it had a short-lived stint. However, the Review Journal has updated us on the status.
And what do they say?
The crew has been told that it will not be returning to Paris Theater. It will, however, reopen, not September 4th, but now November 9th, at an as-yet unnamed Caesars Entertainment venue. Any predictions?
No idea.
Buca. It's got to be Buca, right? I don't know. It feels like Buca. No, it'll probably be somewhere larger than that. I think there was speculation it would be at the Harrah's Theater, but I don't know what the Harrah's Theater is called. Does that have a name? We'll just say Harrah's Theater. But the producer said, no, that's not going to be it. I don't know. I figure it's going to reopen November 9th, perform 15 shows or so.
Maybe through mid-December.
Oh, you're more optimistic than I am. I'm thinking it'll close right before Thanksgiving for like a 3 to 4 month holiday break.
And then never return?
And then they will announce they're reopening in the spring. and it will open. It'll be like a series of. No, I think. Yeah, I don't know.
I was. If they do make it to the, because I'm thinking there's no way they go through like
the holidays,
the really slow period in December. I wouldn't think so.
This is a weird one. So we'll see more details as they're available. I'm just fascinated by shows like this that have this weird, shaky start that there's some sort of confidence that it's going to do well. And yet, I don't know. Yeah. The other one is Mob Story. By the way, there was an update on Mob Story, the thing that's going to be opening at Plaza. We've already reported on multiple delays with that. But there was a note in the Review Journal about that. Apparently, one of the musical numbers in that involves, so the narrator, the actual mob guy who does the narration, he's in a jail cell, and then there's a song and dance number that it was compared to the Chippendales. What? It sounds like the worst thing ever.
And I kind of want to go see it.
That made me want to see it more than I did before, because I've been so skeptical of it. Now I'm like, well, if it's that big of a train wreck where you're going to do a mob-themed thing with a Chippendale scene.
Yeah.
That is funny. Not intentionally. That's like a bad idea. Mm-hmm. And they're putting a ton of money into it, and they're remodeling the theater. And I kind of want to see it now.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll see.
When is it supposed to open? There's still.
I don't know. A while. It might be open by the next time we're there. We'll see.
Also, I hope I didn't sound disrespectful to either Aerosmith or Alicia Silverstone. No. I admire both their work. So.
Of course not. I saw Alicia Silverstone on a talk show recently promoting some TV show she's on. And she still looks very young.
Yeah?
Yes. Yeah, it was like they could do another Clueless and she would probably be able to pull it off. She has aged quite well.
Good. Sometimes I feel a need to clarify things.
That's fine. You don't know. I understand that. Sometimes I don't. I will let my words stand and people can interpret them incorrectly however they wish. All right, some other news. SLS. Have you heard of SLS?
Vaguely.
I haven't been there in a long time. That is the North
Sam Strip. Sam was still there when we were driving by.
It's true. Sam, the weird blobby statue out front, is still there. I would imagine that'll be going away at some point as part of the transition to the new ownership and their rebranding that they have not officially yet announced. However, they have announced, well, we've talked, this is a weird thing. So we talked about this a month ago, that W Hotel was going away. They were replacing W Hotel with, well, not replacing it, the physical structure, but it was going to just be another SLS tower. And that was effective on, I think, July 20th. And now all of a sudden this week there was all this news, effective August 17th, W Hotel is no longer, it's like, what? You announced this a month ago. Anyway, the one part of the announcement that has changed since the previous announcement is that Starwood is out. They previously said they were still going to maintain a relationship with Starwood, so people would be able to use their SPG points and Marriott points. That is no longer the case. You cannot book with those. You will not earn points there. The only other interesting, well, not even that interesting, the only other noteworthy thing is that the tower is now called the Grand Tower, which could be a precursor to the long-rumored name Grand Sahara Resort, which it will likely become.
So will they have a Grand Tower, a Sahara Tower, and a Resort Tower?
At least, do they have three? I was trying to remember that.
Yeah.
I would imagine it will be Grand Sahara and something. Maybe. Could be Resort. That would make sense. So that is what is happening at SLS.
I'm pretty sure they have three.
I think so. Yeah. I think so.
I haven't been there in a while.
I know some people are really into being loyal to specific programs, hotel programs, if they're going to travel a lot around the country. Yep. It makes perfect sense.
Oh, totally. Because then you can get upgrades and
maybe
a special check-in, maybe some cucumber water.
There you go. So some people will be disappointed by the Starwood relationship no longer happening. What else? Oh, okay. A follow-up from last week. We discussed how MGM Resorts is the worst company in the world. And they had announced they were going to be adding a 20% service fee to salon and spa services at several of their properties that did not already have one. I want to thank Steve on our Facebook group. He posted a screenshot of the fine print from a booking or from the website or something clarifying. Because there was controversy. Is this going to the employees? Is it not going to the employees? They said it's going to essentially replace tips, but they're not calling it a gratuity. They're calling it a service fee. Well, according to what he posted, the term that they are using, well, what they're saying is a portion goes to the employees.
I want to know what portion.
Yeah, they're still not saying what portion. It's still rather vague. But a portion goes to employees, and the rest is an administrative fee.
Oh, please.
Which is a meaningless thing, saying it's just...
We're just tacking on money so we can make more money.
So again, thank you for the semi-vague clarification, alleged clarification. MGM Resorts, as suspected, you suck.
I feel bad for the spa employees because they're the ones who are going to get screwed by
they're
this. Because
catch shit about this or get smaller.
Yeah,
cuts.
They're going to not get as many tips. People might not patronize them because of this. People are going to complain to them.
Yeah,
they will be bearing the brunt of this, which sucks.
Right.
Because some executive made this stupid decision.
If you're going to do this, then make it all for the employees and have it truly replace tips and make it clear that that's the case. But to do this shitty, a portion. What does that mean? That could be anything from 2% to, 90%. We don't know. I'm sure it's probably, I don't know. I bet that it's less than 80%. I bet that it's like 50 or something, if that. I don't know. It's bullshit.
I don't care for it.
MGM Resorts, congratulations. You continue to irritate your customer base, and you're doing a bad job. Jim, it's time for Jimbo to go. He's no longer a hero.
No.
He needs to be replaced. He's been there too long. He's making stupid decisions. The pressure's coming on. I think it's time for the board to dump his stodgy ass, bring somebody in who has some new ideas and who's not going to just... fuck everybody at every turn. All right. Deep cleansing breaths. In happier news, Cosmopolitan has upgraded its website, and it is a long overdue upgrade. And I haven't spent a lot of time looking around other than one section that has finally been improved, and that is the Players Club, the identity section. And you can... even if you have a login, I think you have to do like a create an account thing, but it just takes a couple minutes. They verify your email address. Once you have that and you log in, you can get all kinds of actual useful information. Not just previously it was your point balance and maybe what your card level was, and that was it. Now you can see what your point balance is. You can see how long before it expires, how long before your tier expires. They have a weird rolling points thing that I still don't completely understand, but you can get some information on when points go away. You can see your history as far as what you earned.
And what you lost.
Well, yes, you can also look at win-loss statements going back to when the property opened, which I did.
And what an adventure that was.
Yeah, well, it was like, oh, wow, I put a lot of money through their machines then. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, book and stage.
Where we would sit there for hours at a time.
Yes. Yes, that makes a lot of sense now. But you can put a lot of money through. There was a year where I think I put, I don't know, it was like $60,000 through. It's the same money over and over again.
Right. But it's not like you put $60,000.
But then end of year, it's like down $29. I put a lot of points on the card and came out pretty well. Mm-hmm. I mean, only losing that much, but that was when they still had decent video poker pay tables.
Yeah.
The good old days. So anyway, if you have not done so, if you're a Cosmo customer, you might want to go over there and take a look and see what they've got. You can also look at your offers, which is fantastic. You still can't book. You can book their marketing offers. So some of the generic things that are like, hey, you get 20% off the third week in June.
Or you get two free buffets.
Yeah, you can book some of that stuff online. But if it's something specific to you as a result of your play that is through identity, they still require you to call to book that. But that's okay. They're friendly. They're friendly people in their call center. So
that's one of the few times you don't mind talking on the phone to somebody.
When I'm booking a room in Vegas, it's true. I used to love booking rooms at Barbary Coast.
Yeah, because you could hear the casino in the background.
Yeah, it was somebody at the front desk or the Players Club. I think originally before we had any, sort of chance at getting comped or casino rate rooms, it would be the front desk. But then eventually you're calling, you could hear the people in the little Players Club booth right up in front by the strip. And you could always hear Wheel of Fortune in the background. And I loved that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. One final note. This is fresh news off of our Facebook group. Thanks to Taylor, who posted this. The Luxor Esports Arena has already, after just a few months, revamped its food menu. And it was kind of a big deal when they opened that they had brought in Jose Andres to do the food. And he is already out. They have done away with his menu of flatbread and sashimi and poke bowls and all kinds of other things that were kind of an unusual fit for that venue. But
Like good food on its own, but maybe not something you'd... Yeah.
So anyway, that's gone. They've replaced it with a much, much smaller menu.
And they've also replaced any desire I had to go there.
I know, me too. I do kind of want to take a look around, and I intended to do that during our most recent trip. We never made it down there.
We were hungry, and I was like, hey, maybe we should go here for lunch. But even though the food looked really good, it wasn't...
It didn't at the time.
Yeah, it didn't at the right time.
Fit.
Exactly. So we went to Cina Poblano.
I think, I think the new menu is probably a better fit for this type of venue. It's a small menu from Public House, a restaurant at Luxor. It consists of a few appetizers like wings, nachos, and fries, as well as a couple salad options, a sandwich or two, and a burger, and that's it for right now. So, you know, people playing video games, it seems like a sports bar style menu would make sense. Maybe they were trying to emulate what Palazzo did with
the sports stadium, book there.
Yeah, the stadium, bring in Emeril Lagasse and do kind of an upscale food menu rather than your standard sports book fare. But in this case, apparently it did not work out, and Jose is out at Luxor.
He has plenty of other restaurants you can go to, though.
That's true. Enjoy some deliciousness of his elsewhere, like Cosmo or SLS, for example. All right. We have a lot of trip stuff. We're skipping phone calls this week. We'll get caught up on them next week. We're just going to talk about our trip.
Here's the part Al wants.
This will be enjoyable. We don't do our show based on what Al wants.
No, we don't.
If he likes it,
great.
Thrilled. I don't go through my day going, what would Al do? What would Al like?
Really? You don't?
No. He's not.
He's going to be disappointed to hear that.
I guess there have been days where I think, I wonder if Al, but no, it's not. I can't live my life like that. We're giving Al too much attention right now. Let's move on. We had a great trip in November, and we're going to...
In November?
In
August.
August. I don't know what the fuck day it is. A couple weeks ago, I had the year, I said 2008 at the beginning of the show. So in August, which is the month we are currently in, we had a wonderful trip. And as I mentioned last week, a lot of the things we did were repeats. So we're not necessarily going to do a bunch of reviews on places we've gone many times. Mm-hmm. Rather, we want to focus on things that are noteworthy or that we've done that were new, or in one case, somewhere that we gave another shot to. But I'm thinking we should start with our host hotel, for lack of the place that we stayed, which was El Cortez. That sounds much more important and impressive than it actually is. Mm-hmm. We stayed at El Cortez in the Commando Suites, as we have done many times. And the two noteworthy things, a couple noteworthy things about our experience there in the casino. We spent quite a bit of time gambling and having fun.
Yes, we did.
They have instituted, people will be very disappointed in this, they have instituted the drink light system, similar to what Caesars Entertainment has at the video poker bars. It is at all three of their bars, Ike's, Parlor Bar, and the Lobby Bar.
You know what?
What?
If the bartender hadn't told us, I probably wouldn't have even noticed.
No, as soon as you put your money in and play one hand, it goes green, so you get your first drink right away. And then it's... If you're playing at a reasonable pace, you're going to get drinks without a problem.
Mm-hmm. I hate the idea of it.
Right.
And especially downtown.
Yeah.
Like, no, keep this shit confined to the strip.
Right.
I do not like the principle of it. But in actuality, if he hadn't said anything, it would have been totally cool.
The deal is that the company who produced this technology, they're going in and pitching this to all the casinos.
Mm-hmm.
So... Hopefully some will resist, but
obviously
I think Golden Nugget already has it too, but it's the way of the world right now.
Mm-hmm. I had no problem getting my $5 Patron margarita, which I did not pay $5 for. Sometimes I paid $20. Sometimes it was free.
Free in quotes.
Yeah.
So that is one change at El Cortez I wanted to bring up. Another thing was happening while we were there, and I believe we may have mentioned this several years ago when it coincided with another trip, but I have to mention it because I love the idea that there's still a place...
That does this kind of stuff.
That does it. I think some of the locals' casinos do this kind of thing. But as far as the strip in downtown, it's pretty rare to have a weird kind of promotion like this.
Mm-hmm.
On one of the days we were there, I think it was on a Saturday, from noon until 6 p.m., if you were playing at the tables or any slots. Of the slots or video poker, you had a chance to get a free slice of Marie Callender strawberry pie.
Yes, you did.
A woman with a little pie cart.
Mm-hmm.
And I love pie.
Oh. You and me both.
And she would wander around and say, would you like some free pie?
And earlier in the day, I was on the lookout for her, and I was, I mean...
Yep.
Actively searching. Where did is not the pie lady? And then had we just gone to dinner or something?
I don't even remember. But
I remember
You went to wash your hands in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And I saw her and sat down at the nearest slot machine to where she was headed. Mm-hmm. And then I pointed her out and you sat down next to me and we started playing. And
yes.
She offered us free pie.
Yeah.
And it was lovely. Mm-hmm. It was good. And I just love that as a promotion.
I do too.
It's so quaint.
Yes. And delicious.
The other weird thing that El Cortez does is they still have it's a long running promotion where if you mm-hmm. put a certain number of points on your card in a day, it's like 1900 something, based on when they opened, I suppose. Yeah. You have an option to get, I think it's like $10 in free play or a $10 food credit at Siegel's.
Or
a pack of cigarettes. I have no interest in getting a pack of cigarettes.
No, but just the fact that it's there.
Part of me likes knowing somebody is still doing that, mm-hmm. something like that. It's like, yeah, okay, it's Vegas. That's the kind of thing, you know, promote some vices. That's okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So that was great. El Cortez was a lot of fun, as always. During our Las Vegas experience, we did a little gambling.
Yes.
That'll be a shock to all of our listeners. So the last trip I was great because I won. This trip I did not. This one, but however, it was still very exhilarating.
Yeah. I ended up coming home down a little bit,
uh-huh.
but like I hit enough to keep things going where I didn't have that time where it was just like, oh, I'm just putting money in the machine and losing and losing.
I did have that, but it was sandwiched in the middle. So yeah. I started out first money in the machine. I hit a decent jackpot. I played on house money for the next day and a half.
Mm-hmm.
It was wonderful.
I love playing on house money.
Especially
I love it when you get there beginning. And you hit something and you're like, all right, I'm up. And,
yep.
Yeah.
So that was a wonderful way to start, put me in a good mood. Mm-hmm. And then I had a losing streak of another, whatever, day and a half, 2 days.
Wasn't it Sunday where you were just getting...
The money was just being vacuumed out of my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I kept playing.
Yeah.
I know some people were concerned about me because I posted on Twitter that I was at the gambling stage where gambling was awful and my solution was keep gambling. and as luck would have it, that kind of worked because things did turn around. Eventually, before the end of the trip, mm-hmm. and I won much of my money back, and I came home feeling pretty good about where I ended up, even though I was down a little bit. Mm-hmm. But that roller coaster is, even though you have that losing streak in the middle,
yeah,
there's a little rush to that.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a little scary, but you know, mm-hmm. not scary, but it's
it had started to slow down for me on that day too, and I took a break and
not
me. Something else that we'll talk about in a couple minutes.
No break for me. I kept gambling.
Mm-hmm.
Foolish. No, it was really fun. So some of the things that we did, we didn't do a ton of new slots or anything. I played a couple that I had not played before as far as themed slots. I was unimpressed by both of them, and I didn't play them more than whatever I put. I don't know if I put $100 in or something or $60 or something, but the Brady Bunch slots, mm-hmm. I had hopes for. You know, who doesn't love Brady Bunch?
Right.
Eh. Kind of boring. Didn't really think much of it.
Mm-hmm.
Then at Golden Gate, I played three.
Obviously, you did not hit any bonuses.
I think I might have had one little mini bonus or something, but nothing that left an impression. I couldn't even tell you what it mm-hmm. was. And then I played three Amigos at Golden Gate, which, based on the movie, that was excruciatingly boring, too. Mm. So, I didn't hit anything significant as far as bonuses or anything, but even just the regular play. Like, there weren't any movie clips or anything popping up. It was just like, meh.
You enjoyed Apex Gorilla far more.
I know. Some of those cheesy, non-familiar, themed but not based on pop culture stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is an Apex Gorilla? Is that a thing? What is Apex?
I don't know.
I played this dumb machine at Four Queens that I was so entertained by called Apex Gorilla.
And you hit this bonus, and then you hit a bonus within the bonus.
Got lots of free spins.
Yeah.
Played it for a long time. It was really dumb, but I enjoyed it. Speaking of Four Queens, Chicago Brewing Company, mm-hmm. We had eaten there before.
Yeah.
And we've played a lot of the other two Four Queens bars in the casino. We've never played, I don't believe, in the restaurant.
Chicago Brewing Company bar.
Yeah, there's a bar there, and they have video poker. And the same thing, you get comp drinks just like you would at any other bar.
Mm-hmm.
So we went up there to play, and...
I did not enjoy my experience there, but it doesn't mean we won't go back.
No, I think we'll try it again, but we were there during the dinner hour, And there were a lot of woo girls.
Oh my God. The bachelorette whole weekend parties. Was woo girls.
Yeah.
And it's a small space and there's no sound absorption. So
it's loud.
Yeah.
And it's a cigar bar and we're not really into the...
Yeah.
We're not in any way into cigars because they mm-hmm. smell like asshole. So, but I can put up with that, like the smell of stale cigar. There was nobody mm-hmm. smoking around us.
Right.
So those were kind of the downers of that place. Mm-hmm. But I think it would be a fun place to go if it was empty.
Yeah.
If like you went early morning when there's nobody dining
yeah.
there.
Yeah. I think that would be good.
Yeah. Let's try that next time.
Yes.
So that's our experience at Four Queens. And then one other thing I wanted to mention, since I mentioned Golden Gate already, they have expanded the casino down there. They have taken some of the space that used to be Dupar's and added mm-hmm. more slot machines and video poker.
I think I've reached my acceptance stage of Dupar's grief.
Me too.
Yeah.
Video poker is noteworthy because they don't have, or they haven't had in recent years, a lot of video poker at Golden Gate, especially since they did the previous renovation. They used to have a video poker nook back mm-hmm. kind of next to the bar area. Yeah. Anyway, as part of moving things around, a lot of that went away. They've now put in new video poker, and some people will be happy. It's the same pay tables as they have at View Bar at the D. Mm-hmm. So they have the Progressive 8-5 bonus poker,
yep.
which is a pretty good machine, especially if the progressives increase. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they've done it yet, but there are plans to link the progressives at View Bar and Golden Gate. And then I think at some point they're going to link, even though the machines are meh as far as pay tables,
yeah.
the progressives at Bar Prohibition and Long Bar, I think, will be linked as well. Mm-hmm. So this is all kind of setting things up for when the new place opens in a couple of years.
And then they'll have the progressives linked there.
They can link everything up. So it's nice to have some decent... video poker at Golden Gate in terms of pay tables, because up until this point, it's been, I would say, probably the worst video poker downtown. And now that honor goes to Golden Nugget. So mm-hmm. now that we've got some 8-5 bonus at the quarter 50 cent dollar levels.
Yep.
So there you go. Anything else about gambling you'd like to discuss?
Not that I can think of at the moment.
All right. One of the things that you did while I was on my gambling tear, mm-hmm. losing money at a rapid pace.
And I thought, I'm losing money at a pace that I'm starting to get uncomfortable with, so I'm going to take a break.
And you have not done a lot of this during recent Vegas trips, but you decided to go shopping with our friend John.
Yes, yes. Our friend John offered me a ride to the outlet mall, and we went and so had a good time.
This is the premium outlet?
The North one.
Which is near down. It's part of downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And what experiences, you haven't been there in a long time.
I have not.
What experiences do you wish to share with our listeners?
You do have to pay for parking.
I'm going to nap as you. I'm just kidding. That's right. Paid it's parking.
$5.
We discussed that a couple months ago.
Yeah. They have a new Jimmy Choo store.
Oh, thank goodness.
Prices ranged. I think I saw a pair for like $250.
Oh, what a bargain.
It went up to like $2,000.
Oh,
Course, the ones I really like were $2,000. And I'm like, no.
What's the purpose of a fucking outlet mall if they have a $2,000 pair of shoes there?
That's they have a lot of bullshit. High-end stuff. They've got Armani. They've got
It's such
Kate
a fucking
Spade,
scam. I can't believe you fall for this premium outlet mall bullshit. There's no discounts to be had.
I did save 10% on my Skechers purchase.
On car insurance? So that, wait, 10% off of?
Off of an already reduced price.
That's scam.
So if you
were happy with your pair of shoes, I'm happy that you were happy.
Okay, so quick thing while you nap. If you're a member of the Premium Outlets program, they've got a VIP shopper
How
thing.
How could I forget it?
They have an app and you can sign into the app and you, instead of going through and printing all the coupons and cutting them out like I used to do, they've finally gone digital and you just bring your app and you tell the cashier the code.
What a wonderful time we live in.
Yeah. So that's how I got my
Skechers
discount.
That's how you get your town, by having an app.
Yeah. And so now I have some sneakers with balloon animal dogs on them.
What are you, 12?
I like whimsical shit.
Do I have a pen? That's the show. Remind me, that's the show title. Okay. All right. Anything else about the premium album?
Have you seen my wardrobe?
I've seen your wardrobe. You do like whimsical shit.
Have you seen my lemonade pajamas?
I have. I'm a big fan of your lemonade pajamas. Anything else on shopping at the premium outlet malls you wish to discuss?
It's, don't go expecting super bargains.
No, except for those $2,000 fucking shoes at Jimmy Choo. What a deal that is.
But if there's a store you want to visit that you don't have available to you, I'd recommend checking it out.
Okay. I'll do that. I'm glad you had a good time. And then you guys went and had tiki drinks.
So yes, we did.
All right.
Yeah, we didn't spend very much time there. I think we were there maybe an hour, if that.
No, I was surprised that.
And it was busy.
You texted me. I think my comeback began while you were gone, didn't it?
I think it did.
I think because I ended up playing for a long time at Main Street Station.
What if that's the key?
You have to go shopping for me to turn things around?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll work out a deal.
We can test that theory. Yeah,
we'll see how that works.
The next trip.
All right, so that's it for shopping. Let's talk a little bit about dining, another favorite activity in Las Vegas. We did really just one new restaurant worth discussing, and that is Hell's Kitchen at Caesar's Palace. We made reservations well in advance. We had gone there one time before.
But we were drunk and didn't totally remember everything, and it was more of a, we need food and we need something in our faces, and even though it was delicious.
It wasn't the actual full
experience. We sat at the bar, had a very good time. Again, mm-hmm. Our friend John was with us. I had a short rib grilled cheese that was wonderful. Then we had to wait 15 minutes for dessert and you were crabby.
Ridiculous. But this time we decided to do something different. We booked for a proper sit-down dinner in the restaurant itself.
Mm-hmm. It would have been a great view because we were overlooking what was the Caesar's Fountains, but they're under construction right now.
Yeah, so. I know. They had them all dried out and doing some sort of work there.
There's some good people watching on the...
That's true.
Sidewalk, though.
People wandering below in the heat with questionable outfit choices.
Mm-hmm.
So what we decided to do at Hell's Kitchen, this is one of Gordon Ramsay's restaurants. Based on what we have a lot to say about this place. Based on what the server, first of all, great service.
Excellent service.
Our server was just on, like, he was there if we needed mm-hmm. something, just quick, and everything came quickly
mm-hmm.
as far as food and everything.
And we ordered the fixed price menu.
Yes. So that's what we decided to do. They have a... I should pull my receipt out here so I can recount. Well, you can... So why don't you recount what exactly the fixed price menu consists of, and I'll pull out here specifics on what we ended up spending.
You have a choice of appetizer, which is either, I think, a Caesar salad yep. or scallops. We both chose the scallops. Mm-hmm. They were delicious.
They were.
And then...
And it was like, what? How many scallops was it?
There were like five.
I thought it was more than that. Okay. Five or six.
And then they were in a green sauce...
They were delicious.
Yes.
I loved the scallops.
Then the star of the show is the beef Wellington.
That is the star of the show. Unlike at his steakhouse at Paris, they don't have a sculpture hanging above you that is supposedly created out of the hand movements that Chef Ramsay
uses while making the beef Wellington.
Yeah, which is such a load of shit. So that was course two. Mm-hmm. And of course, the beef
Sticky
Wellington.
Sticky toffee pudding.
Amazing. Yes.
For dessert.
Oh, love that sticky toffee pudding, good. Too, with a nice glob of vanilla ice cream.
So the thing with it's a lot of food.
It is a lot of food. So I wouldn't recommend doing
the beef Wellington, because they have a thing, if you're at Gordon Ramsay's steak,
yes,
you can split it. That's a perfect portion for me. And I started hitting the meat wall.
It was a lot, but it was good.
But it was delicious.
$72 each for the three course.
Which is interesting because I felt like you get more food for what you pay for, even though you're not like splitting the...
I thought it was worth it.
I thought so, too.
Yep. And then we each had a cocktail. Those were $15 each.
Mm-hmm.
I had something called the Pitchfork, which had a little pitchfork thing in the foam on top. You had something called the Scottish Kiss, which I assume was a scotch drink.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't have a lot of scotch this trip.
I did not.
But you did there.
Yep.
So
there were pitchforks everywhere. There was a big theme.
Yeah. Yes.
Hell's Kitchen. Did you know that the restaurant's based on the TV show?
So they give you this whole spiel about how it's the only restaurant modeled after the TV show, and that a lot of the things that he creates on the TV show are available on the menu, mm-hmm. and it looks like the kitchen in the TV show and all this stuff. And then apparently there's a chef who works there. We have never watched the show.
No,
there's apparently a chef there who is one of the winners, I assume,
mm-hmm.
and... She was milling about working, but then...
And people were really excited to see her. And she was posing for pictures very graciously.
I don't know what her name was, but anytime someone would mention, oh, I saw her in the, that she was working in the kitchen, their server would say, would
grab her and bring her over. Yeah. And then not grab her, but just gently tap her on the shoulder and say, hey, this table would like to meet you.
And then sometimes she was just kind of lingering, waiting for somebody to ask for her too.
Yeah, yeah. And you commented on how white her linens were.
Yeah, like she hasn't cooked anything here in years. That's not obviously true, but I think that a lot of her role is a
PR
thing.
Yeah.
The tie-in with the show and all that. But it's cool for people who are into the show to go there and meet somebody who was on the show. It's fun.
Yeah, and people love to say, hey, I saw this
famous
person in Vegas and get a picture with them. And yeah.
The food was great. The service was great. We were in and out of there for a three-course meal in less than an hour.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I don't like to linger.
You don't like to dawdle.
I was very pleased with it. Yeah. So all in, one drink each, prefix menu. It ended up being $188 plus tax for a lovely meal.
Yeah.
A very nice upscale meal. I would recommend it.
Yeah.
The food is great. We'll go back.
Definitely. Would you like to talk about the water?
That's right. I'm sure many of you have been to nice restaurants, and they always do the whole water thing. Would you like our...
sparkling or tap?
Yeah, or sometimes they'll just call tap... They have different names
house
for
water.
It to keep you on your toes. Sometimes I think... It's never quite clear unless they say tap what exactly the fuck. Because the house water might not be tap. You might be paying for it.
Right.
They've got all this bullshit. But they have this extra layer of bullshit at Hell's Kitchen. Chef Ramsay has brought in all of our, not all obviously, because we had the tap at no charge. But Chef Ramsay has brought in water from Wales, especially, like we're supposed to be impressed. Like
by his favorite stream or something.
Like,
I don't know.
What kind of crap is, like the water in Wales is... Is there something about that that I should know? Is the water, are they known for their...
Welsh listeners, please chime in.
Are they known for their great water? For all I know, it could be a fucking puddle water. I don't know.
He told a story that was a couple minutes long, none of which we remember, just that the water was from Wales and you were rolling your eyes the whole time.
Oh, yeah. I shook that off like, nope, I'll go with the fastball. no interest in throwing that pitch, but thanks. It was ridiculous. So I was satisfied with our slum water that we had from the Las Vegas.
I would rather save money on water and spend it on drinks.
There you go.
Because those drinks will weed out the impurities in any of the water you're drinking.
You'll get hydrated either way. All right.
That's
Hell's Kitchen.
That's my theory. That's not science. That's just, yeah.
We have two other food items.
Alcohol kills things. Including
the
liver.
Mostly. So last week we had a review from one of our callers of the Fremont Shrimp Cocktail, and we also decided to take on this experiment because we kind of missed the shrimp cocktails that they've previously had at Golden Gate that are no longer around. Although last time I checked, they were still selling Best Tail in Town T-shirts at Golden Gate. I don't know if those are gone now or not, but anyway, I'm still hoping that at some point those make a comeback at either the new property or at the D or something. But anyway, so right now, if you want a 99-cent shrimp cocktail downtown, as far as I know, you have one option, and that is Fremont, a little food place called Lanai Express.
I think so. Yeah, they have oxtail soup, which you're.
I know it's such a special thing. You can only get it at 46 restaurants downtown. Fucking soup. Anyway, so we decided, much like the caller last week, let's give this shrimp cocktail.
Says the guy who ordered French onion from Panera last weekend.
I know, but that was a side. It's not supposed to be a meal. Shut up. Anyway, let's try the Fremont shrimp cocktail for 99 cents and see how it measures up to the good old Golden Gate shrimp cocktails. It does not measure up.
Oh, no. Figuratively or literally.
We agree completely.
First of all, it's tiny.
We agree completely with last week's caller who said, yeah, it doesn't look like on the picture outside of Fremont.
Ooh.
It's a little plastic cup about the size of maybe a little bit bigger than a Dixie cup. And it's the bottom half is filled with a cocktail sauce that is ketchup with a tiny bit of spiciness to it, but it's not the most flavorful of cocktail sauces. And then on top of that, they have these little shrimp, which they're sea monkeys.
Yeah.
They look like they were poured out of a jar. It's not good, fresh, crisp shrimp.
Yeah,
it's barely passable.
It's not even ocean to table.
You know how when you're at the grocery store and you walk down that aisle where they have things that puzzle you, like, maybe it's just me, but I'll be like, how is it that they have packets of tuna that are unrefrigerated? I mean, they've got to be so pumped full of preservatives. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of mystery things in that aisle, though, that
chicken of the sea,
canned and jarred. And I'm not saying they are, but I felt like these shrimp were something that would have been in a jar in that aisle. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think you're supposed to have shrimp unrefrigerated. These were refrigerated, by the way.
Yeah.
They just had that look about them, like,
they look sketchy.
These are a little suspect.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we each got one, and we tried them, and meh.
I
shoveled it down because I was hungry.
Yeah.
But
yeah, we needed food. I had about half, I think.
I think I ate about 2/3, but I don't think we'll be doing
that. Don't go out of your way.
I wouldn't even bother doing it.
Yeah.
It won't be happening again. But for science, we decided to try it. So that is our experience with the Fremont Shrimp Cocktail. I give it a thumbs down. Mm-hmm. All right. So one more dining thing. We haven't done one of these segments in a long time, but periodically, if we have an experience at a restaurant or a bar or something in Las Vegas and it doesn't go so well, we decide to forgive them and go, we'll see how it goes and we'll try it again. All right. We tried it again. We tried Siegel's 1941 at El Cortez. Individually.
Yeah.
We tried it separately because I was up earlier, wanted to grab some breakfast before you were ready. I thought, you know what? This is convenient. We've got a food comp as part of our room thing. Let me just get something here, see how it is, charge it to the room, call it a day. So last time we went, we were underwhelmed, I would say.
Oh. What they did to pancakes was unforgivable.
You were especially underwhelmed. I was less so, but not impressed. This time, I came around a little bit.
Same.
And I just ordered an omelet with, I think I had sausage and bacon and cheese. And this omelet was stuffed full of, it was like they did not go light on the ingredients. It was a good, hearty omelet.
Good.
And it was prepared well. It came out fairly quick. Oddly, the thing that I was most impressed with, it's one of those little things that it shouldn't be that difficult, but nobody gets it right. Toast. I'm a big fan of toast.
Yeah, you are.
Most restaurants, especially for breakfast, you know, with as a side, whatever, the toast is like a fucking soggy, barely crisp piece of bread that looks like it was run over by a semi-truck. It drives me, like, this is barely even toast. A lot of times it's not even, it's hardly toasted. Like, how old is that fucking toaster that you're using?
I usually have the opposite experience where it's overdone.
Really?
Burnt. Yeah.
I get fucking soggy toast that's barely crisp all the time. I hate that.
Maybe it's because it's buttered and then it waits and then the butter soaks in.
I don't know. Well, the toast at Siegel's was like perfect toast.
Yeah.
Like a nice, I don't know what kind of bread they used. I think I just had like wheat bread or something, but it was like, it looked like a nice piece of toast. It was evenly toasted. The bread or the butter was whipped butter, which is always good because you're not going to tear up your fucking bread with the cold butter that should
whipped butter all the way.
Absolutely. So it's a little thing, but it made me like, okay, they're doing this right. This is a good sign. And then, you know, that was it. I just had, it was, it was relatively cheap. Charges to the room was $10 or something. But yeah.
So when I got up and you told me this tale, I thought, well, I could eat. And you were in a place where you didn't really need to. And so I thought,
I don't even know. And I was gambling elsewhere. Yes.
And I thought, you know what? This is convenient. We have a room charge. I'm going to try it also.
And what did you have?
I had a Cobb salad. I just wanted something light and refreshing. Mm-hmm. And it was good.
Cool.
Look, the bacon was good. The vegetables were good. Had avocado in it. It was, what the thing that impressed me was the service. They were very attentive and friendly.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've turned around my opinion of Siegel's. I wouldn't say it's
a
go-on
way. I'm
never
ordering pancakes there again.
No. But for a serviceable, quick...
Yeah, like just your average cafe.
Yeah. It was all right.
Yeah.
I would say I enjoyed my... I had almost the same omelet at
Magnolia's?
Magnolia's one morning, and I enjoyed the Seagull's one better.
Really? Was it because of the toast?
No, it was, well, that was part of it. It was a combination, though. The omelet was better at at Seagull's. Huh. So,
yeah, I would...
It's an option now.
Yes, it's an option now, where I had written it off before, and now I'm...
Yep.
And I still think there are certain things I won't order there. Like, I wouldn't go there for steak.
No.
Just treat it as a coffee shop, a place for a quick bite.
And not the pancakes.
You'll get... And not the pancakes. You'll get fresh food and friendly service.
Yeah. So, hooray. Hooray for somebody turning around there, in, you know, in our experience, turning things around. So, that's good. All right. One of the other things we did while in Las Vegas was drink. Surprise, surprise. We had some cocktails and some beer. And
we did?
We did.
Oh, yeah, we did.
We did. One of the places that we went, again, but we wanted to mention because we had a slightly different experience, not in a bad way, but we went to the Underground at the Mob Museum because it's really fun.
Yeah.
And
we found our way there
this time. We're not going to recount how to get there. We've discussed that before, and you'll find it. But one of the things that we noticed while there, well, one of the things we took advantage of, is they have a happy hour.
Yep.
And the other thing is that they have, during certain hours, they have food.
Yep.
So, you have the details. Tell, what are the details of the happy hour?
The happy hour is Monday through Friday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., 20% off select cocktails, draft beer, and wine by the glass. And they've got about 8 cocktails, 5 drafts, and like 12 wines.
That's pretty good.
To choose from.
And then food... Well, what are the hours on food?
The food is...
And it's a very limited menu.
Yeah. It starts at 5 p.m. Sunday through Wednesday, it goes through 10 p.m. Thursday through Saturday, it goes through 11 p.m.
Okay.
They have spiced mixed nuts, pretzel bites, a hummus plate, a charcuterie plate, and a 9-inch cheese pizza.
Yes.
All very reasonably priced. The most expensive thing is
$10. There you go.
That's what we got.
So it's a nice
charcuterie
little,
plate. Yeah, but we have the charcuterie.
Yes, because we love...
We love cheese and
high
meat.
High class Lunchables. Fucking, we're just like fucking wine drinkers eating tiny bits of meat and cheese.
But it was so good.
It was delicious. And it was a nice little, we weren't looking for a meal. We just wanted a little something to tide us over. And that did the trick quite well.
Yes.
Again, we've reviewed that place before, but just
highly recommended.
Really fun, really good service. Nice people.
Mm-hmm. And there's a password situation.
Yep.
Go on their Instagram, get the password.
Instagram or Snapchat.
Yeah.
They only change it once a week, so it's not that complicated. But hooray. I like that that is there.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked, I was curious, I asked the bartender sort of what she thought the split was as far as people who are coming as part of the Mob Museum package that wandered in that way versus people coming through the secret door as a destination. And the vast majority are coming as part of the Mob Museum. So I don't know. That's... I was surprised that it was not a more even split.
Mm-hmm.
I would have guessed maybe 50-50, but it sounded like it was more like 80-20 for what it's worth. But there's a lot of, at least the two times we've been there, there's a lot of turnover. People come in, they have one drink, they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to, you're probably not going to have difficulty getting a seat there unless maybe there's an event or something.
Yeah.
So,
or if you arrive when a tour is there, because the last time we were there, the bar was full.
And then it cleared out.
We had a pleasant experience at our table, too. Yep. We had a great waitress. So.
It's cool.
But this time we sat at the bar.
Another also happy hour. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Okay.
Another happy hour that we took advantage of was the Cromwell happy hour, which we've been meaning to do. So was it 6 to 7 daily? Yeah, because we ate it. We ate at Hell's Kitchen first.
Yep. Yeah, because we ate at 4:45.
I know we had it super early because that's the reservation that was available, and we're farmers.
Yeah. Yes.
And
we wanted to have a base before we went to this happy hour because we had a feeling it would be trouble.
We didn't overdo it too much. But,
no, but we took advantage.
So what they have available, and this is at the lounge that's behind the main casino bar.
Right.
So they have quite a bit of space. They have a band, a lounge band playing.
Yeah, they do.
And it was exquisite.
Oh, it was.
Like, not, it wasn't horrible, but it was like a weird mix of music and cheesy lounge entertainment, which I want in Las Vegas. There's not enough of that.
And the people up front were really getting into it. So you had some people watching with drunk people dancing.
Singing along to Journey songs.
And then them trying to do Devil Went Down to Georgia without a fiddle.
Yeah,
and
they played a bass solo instead or something. It was weird.
Isn't the happy hour 6 to 7, then they have some additional specials 7 to 8?
Yeah, 7 to 8, but everybody cleared out at 7 p.m. sharp. It was a pretty full lounge, so I would recommend if you want to go, try to get there on the earlier side.
Mm-hmm.
And the specials consist of Dollar, Chirac, and Kettle One. Is that what it was?
Yep.
So if you like vodka.
And I do.
You can go and get, you know, vodka soda or vodka crayon or whatever it is that you like.
Mm-hmm. Vodka mixes well with a lot of stuff.
Yeah. So for a buck each, we were discussing this, and if you were to go there and get a seat at the bar. Where you're having concert, because they only had maybe, I don't know, did they have two or three servers?
Mm-hmm. It wasn't a lot.
Our server looked like Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
She did a fantastic job.
She was so good.
Even though she had a lot of tables.
Mm-hmm. She came around quite often.
She
made sure we were okay.
She actually came by, we were there a little bit before it started, and she was taking orders before it started so that she could get them in right at 6 and start things going for people who wanted to. So if you get there a little bit early, you might be able to get your order in, start boozing right at 6.
Mm-hmm. And we ordered a couple Pellegrinos just to...
Oh, so that was the best part. We were there with our friends, so there are four of us, and we had two Pellegrinos before the thing... Well, it wouldn't have mattered when it started. But so that was... Those were...
Were they like $6?
Yeah, it was $13 for the two Pellegrinos. Mm-hmm. And then we had, I don't know, three rounds or something.
Yeah.
So that was $12 for the rest of the drinks. Yeah. And they were mixed strong.
Yeah. So what I was thinking, all right, a dollar drink.
Yeah.
How much alcohol are you really going to get? You get a lot.
Yeah, you're getting your dollar's worth.
Yeah.
So if you've ever thought about going to the... And we had a great time, and it helped that we were there with fun people.
Yeah.
But we had the cheesy band that added to the atmosphere, and it was...
Yep, good conversation, good drinks. It was
lovely.
Yeah.
We'll go back to that one, I think.
Absolutely.
So thumbs up to the Cromwell Happy Hour. Mm-hmm. I hope it continues for a long time.
I do, too. I like that... I think we've said this before, but I like that they're trying a few different things
there. Yeah, they've got good blackjack and good craps, and they've got a bank of decent video poker pay tables, and... it's nice that they're trying to provide some value in the casino, because I know a lot of people are bummed out about a lack of value that they're feeling. And, you know, there are still places you can get it. You just have to seek it out a little bit sometimes. And this is one of those things I recommend seeking if you like vodka.
I liked how we went into the Cromwell Happy Hour and you're like, how many can I order?
I know. It felt like we were on the high roller.
Yeah.
Okay. We got an hour. Let's see.
This is a challenge.
We didn't really. I mean, if I really wanted to, I could have pounded a lot more. Of those, because you could order multiple if you wanted to. I'm pretty sure that they would have served them, but so that is that's Cromwell. The other place I wanted to talk about,
as far as
the bar, what do I have? Gillies. We went to Gillies at, there it is, at I'm pulling out receipts so I can recall what we ordered and stuff at Treasure Island. Yep. So this came about because our friend Misnomer, who you may know from the internet, he's famous in our eyes. Mm-hmm. And he has had a dream for a long time to go to Gillies as part of his Vegas trip and has never done it. Mm-hmm. So knowing we were going to be there at the same time as him and at the same time as our mutual friend John, we had planned in advance, this is the trip, we're going to go hang out at Gillies. Mm-hmm. I don't think Aaron ever left Cosmo as part of his trip. And he was gone before we knew it and had gone back home without fulfilling his dream. And we felt that we needed to fulfill the dream for him.
Yep.
So
off to Gillies we went.
So the four of us met at Gillies. Three of us met at Gillies. I was seeing four of us by the time. And we hung out there.
Because this was after the Cromwell Happy Hour.
I know it was. It was quite a night of drinking. But we had a wonderful time.
We did. It was enjoyable.
You know, we're not country music fans.
No.
But as far as the bar experience at Gillies,
it
was laid back and fun and just like...
Casual. And
it makes no apologies for what it is. It's just like kind of a pseudo divey country bar.
Mm-hmm.
If they had a different soundtrack, I would love the place.
Mm-hmm.
And I, even with the soundtrack that I didn't care for, I really liked the place.
So I'm like, oh, here's a song about a truck. Oh, here's a song about God and country.
Yeah, that's about it. you could create your own drinking game easily there with the themes of the songs they played.
Yeah. I Shazammed a few of them.
So. Yeah, what was the purpose of that? Like, you're going to go home and
make a playlist
of shitty songs you never want to hear again? And then the weird thing is they're playing all country, and then all of a sudden there's a fucking Alice in Chains song right in the middle of the...
Yeah.
What? Where did that come from?
Sound like the others.
They do have a mechanical bull, and we saw three people ride the mechanical bull, and that was entertaining.
Yeah.
I don't know what they charge for that, but you know, they each put in a good 30 seconds before they got bucked off. But it's part of the overall experience.
Yeah.
They do have a separate room that is a restaurant. We didn't venture back there. We were in the main bar area right next to the stage. So after 10 o'clock, they apparently charge a cover, and they have live bands in there. But,
and it was pretty crowded when we went.
Yeah, they were doing a pretty good business. Yeah. But again, I think there was enough of a churn that if you came in and stood around for a few minutes, you could get a table, even if you didn't get one right away. We ended up, between the three of us, having 7 cocktails total. And they were $8 each.
Yeah.
So
reasonably priced.
$56 plus tip. You know, that's... We had $56 for the amount of time we spent there and the fun we had.
Yeah.
And the drinks that we had.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well worth it. And that was weird drinking...
Let's see, I had margaritas and Island had margaritas vodka soda. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Sky vodka. So...
Yeah.
Thumbs up to Gillies. A surprising thumbs up to Gillies because, you know, it's one of those places if you're not into that type of music, you kind of goof on. But we had a really good time. And it's,
yeah. Would you go back?
Absolutely, I would.
Yeah.
No questions asked. Well, if there was a band, I probably wouldn't be interested.
Right.
Because it would be harder to...
I would go early.
Yeah. We went, I don't know, 8 o'clock drinks, or something.
Hang out. Yeah.
So there you go. That's Gillies. Good times at Gillies. Finally, one other thing that we wanted to talk about, unless you think of anything else that I did not include on the list, but we did a little bit of exploring and went to Palms. We have not been to Palms in a long time.
Nope.
But they've been renovating since the new owners came on board, the Red Rock Resort Stations people. I don't know what the official company name is. Station Casinos. They've done a major renovation. They're still in the middle of it, but there was enough done that we thought it was worth checking out. We went over there one afternoon and were at least... I was very impressed with what I saw. What was your take on Palms? Same.
It was very nice.
Yeah. You walk in and the first thing you see when you come in the main entrance is the new center bar, which is called Unknown. And above it is a giant, a giant shark.
Because it's in thirds.
It is. It has been cut into thirds. I believe. Is it real?
I don't know.
If it's not, it's a very impressive replica. But they've cut it and... Like it's in three different plexiglass display cases, and you can kind of see the innards. Anyway, I'm sure I could find that if I did a quick search, but it's cool. It's a cool thing to see. It looks great. The whole property is just bright and clean, and
like I'd rather see a real shark swimming, but
it's a nice environment. I liked what they're doing,
and the drinks, a little pricey, but
yeah,
the quality. Like it's a mixology bar.
Yeah, they've got the fresh ingredients on the bar, so whatever the seasonal fruits and things, they're gonna change up their menu based on that.
Very good service.
They had just opened at noon the day we got there, and we were the only people at the bar, but so the service was really good.
Yeah,
we just had one round; it was delicious. Yeah. But the other things going on at the casino, as far as the overall feel of the place, is nice. I like a lot. And it's not completed. They're putting in some new restaurants. There's a Bobby Flay restaurant going in over there. And it's impressive.
It's just, it's really well done. It's just, it feels good when you go in there.
Yeah. So my immediate thought while we were there and upon leaving is this is the opposite of the Monte Carlo transition to Park MGM.
Yes.
Where I walk in there and go, this is it. This is what they spent all that time and money on. That's my feeling at Park. And it's drab and boring, and the colors are vomit green, and it has no energy.
Yeah.
You go into Palms, and it feels great. It looks nice.
Yep. You want to be there. You want to hang out. And even though there's stuff that's still under construction, it's seamless. Like, it doesn't...
The construction walls are on the edges of the casino.
Yep. And they've got... things on them, like pictures and
it still looks descriptions tasteful and, despite the construction. You're not walking through construction tunnels and they're doing it right over there.
Yep.
Unlike Park MGM, which
also they have decent video poker.
Yeah, there's a nice video poker, and I'm looking forward to going back after everything is open. The other thing I mentioned, I think, when we left there that they're doing right whether you agree with it or not, we live in a very social media oriented culture, and a big part of casinos, hotels, resorts, all these places in Las Vegas getting the word out is based on all those pictures you see on Instagram and on Facebook. And Palms obviously has been designed with that in mind. The shark is the first thing you see when you walk in. Everybody's going to walk in and take a picture of that thing the first time they are there.
And there are a lot of little spots throughout the casino that are, is Instagrammable a word?
Yeah. Well,
they're photogenic.
Right. There's some kind of weird little statue thing outside one of the restaurants. I don't know what the hell it was supposed to be, but I took a picture of it because it's weird and different. And it's a smart thing. Again, you go to Park MGM, what is there to photograph?
Right. Ooh, it's a green wall.
Yeah. Again, they're not completely done, but as of right now, it's very unimpressive.
Yeah. And then Palms is still great. Adding on.
Yep.
There was a bunch of construction on the outside as well not have to walk through to get to the casino.
I think that's some of the restaurant space they're adding. Yeah. So anyway, bravo to Palms for what they're doing.
Yeah.
I look forward to seeing it again when it's complete.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me want to go again.
I want to go when the one cocktail bar is open at 4.
Camden?
Camden, yes.
Camden, which is very similar to Click at Cosmo. I find that interesting because we've never gone to Click at Cosmo.
Yeah. I want to go over to Palms to go to a similar bar.
They're operated by the same company and they have a similar look and stuff. But it looks like a very nice little lounge, and I do like this trend that we're seeing of more lounges, even though we don't spend a ton of time in them. I'm more likely to go to a place like that than a nightclub.
Yeah.
You can sit and have a conversation, and it feels nice and upscale and comfortable, and I like seeing more of those.
They're good places to hang out.
Yeah. So, hooray for Palms.
Yeah.
Very excited about this, and like we hadn't been there in 7-8 years, probably.
Yeah.
It seems that way, at least. It's been a long time, and this made me think, I could see us coming back here and spending time again in the near future. So, hooray. Mm-hmm. All right. So, I think that does it. I think we got through all of our trip stuff.
Yeah.
Which we, packed a fairly good amount into 4 days. It was a little bit shorter trip than some of our trips, but considering all the old favorite stuff that we hit, I was glad we were able to get in some new stuff. All right. All right, so that's going to do it for the show. We got some karma donations to thank some folks for before we wrap things up, including Natalie. Her first karma donation in 2 years was 2 years ago, and she hit her first royal flush.
Yay!
Hope that happens again. But regardless, she said she wanted to express support for the podcast. She finds it entertaining, and it makes her laugh.
Good.
Yay, I'm glad you enjoy it. Yep. Christina with a karma donation for a trip that is happening right now as we speak. Hey. Hope you're having a great time, yes. Christina. Joe Michael with a karma donation for a trip also happening right now. Said thanks for keeping the Vegas flame alive between trips. Hey, that's what it does for us, too. Eric, Barry, Corey, and Brendan with a karma donation. It worked during their April trip. They're heading back. Actually, they headed back. Their trip is over now. This was from a couple weeks ago. They stayed at Cosmo. Well, I hope you had a good time.
Yes, I hope so.
They're hoping to hit it big and have a verbena. I hope that both things happened.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Nyan, longtime supporter of the show, headed to Vegas for the third time in 6 weeks.
Nice.
But it's a birthday trip.
Yay.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
She said, this is a karma donation since we had our asses handed to us the last two times. Not sure where we're where that saying comes from. We'd like to give our asses back. Well, hope you had a wonderful trip. Yeah. Happy birthday. Joe said, thanks for getting me through the last 8 months away from Vegas. Karma donation for next week.
Thank you.
Hope your trip is awesome. Kevin and Chris. Okay, this is the one where I'm supposed to semi-intentionally mispronounce a name.
Mm-hmm.
From Kevin Nagel and Chris, I love hearing Tim try to pronounce my last name. I'm trying to come up with a good pronunciation here. We're going to go with Froji. That's my pronunciation. That's my false pronunciation for this donation. I hope you enjoyed it, Chris.
Yeah.
Our friends Nick and Michelle hoping a little of our recent karma rubs off. That's obviously from before this trip when we were still coming off of a winning trip. They are in Las Vegas right now for a semi-bittersweet trip since it's a memorial for a friend of theirs who's no longer with us. They said they're bummed they're not going to get to see us this fall since we're not doing a summit or VIMF. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure we'll see them again.
Yeah.
And then a warning to watch the P.O. box.
Hashtag skull.
Yes. Nick and Michelle like to send an annual
Vikings
bet in an ever-failing effort to get us to cheer for the Vikings.
Mm-hmm. It did make us some money last year, though.
They hit the over last year, mm-hmm. so we'll see what shows up. They've mixed the bet up a couple times. We'll see what shows up in the P.O. box. Mm-hmm. But we appreciate your support. Thank you very much. Georgina, first Karma donation for our 53rd trip to Mecca, which is happening in just a few days. Love hearing the good luck stories from others. Love the podcast. Thanks for enlightening all of us on everything Vegas, our favorite vacation spot. Well, you're welcome, thank you very much for supporting it. Greg with a Karma donation for Greg and Janine for a joint birthday getaway happening right now as we speak. Happy birthday to both of you, and have a great time.
Yes.
Ed and Lori, another trip happening right now, celebrating nothing special except for the love of Vegas. Hey, that's all you need.
That's the way to go.
Yep. You can have a birthday trip. You can have an anniversary trip.
You can have an I just want to go to Vegas trip.
Yep. Celebrate that love. That's cool. And finally, Zach with a Karma donation for a trip happening in about a week. Downtown Adventures, staying at Downtown Grand, and plan on making Megabucks at Plaza My Bitch. Well, right. Hey, I hope do. I would love it so much if one of our listeners hit something huge like that.
Oh, that'd be great.
That would be so cool.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, it's fun seeing when people post their Royal Flush jackpots because everybody's excited when they hit a nice big jackpot or something. But if somebody were to post their own, like, $1 million jackpot, some ridiculous, even a couple $100,000.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, that would be so cool.
Yeah.
I hope it's got to happen. We have a lot of listeners. At some point, you would think that would happen. I'm wishing that for all of you. Somebody hit a big jackpot and post a picture and make me happy. All right.
Well, thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much. You guys are awesome. Oh, that's another thing we wanted to mention about our trip. As often happens during our trip, we run into some listeners. Ran into several this trip, and I did a really bad job of documenting it. Normally, I try to note down names of people I met, so I'm not going to go through names, unfortunately, because I don't have the list. Yeah. But I just want to say thank you to everyone who came up to us and had nice words to say about the show. And it's quite humbling, I guess. Mm-hmm. Is that the correct term? People use humbled all the time, and I think a lot of times falsely. It makes us feel very good.
Yeah.
So thank you for all the nice things you said. It's unbelievable to hear that the show is part of your lives on an ongoing basis and has meant a lot to you. And thank you for adding that to our trip. Did I do that justice?
You did that very well.
Okay. All right. That's going to do it for this week. I had fun talking about our trip.
I did too.
Well, thank you for sharing the trip and the recap with me.
Thank you. All right. It was fun.
500bymidnight.com is the website. 500@gmail.com is the email address. You can find us on Twitter. I am 500. She is Anita Martini. Of course, our voicemail line is available to you anytime, day or night, at 702-866-9494. We will try to get caught up on voicemails next week. As always, thank you for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We do appreciate it, and we hope you have a wonderful week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.